Thankful for Jesus. This morning, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, I know what he's going to preach on. Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. Unto us a child is born. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 this morning. We've been going through the birth of Christ, and we see how Christ has taken ordinary people and put them in extraordinary circumstance because they're faithful. God uses circumstances. God uses our spiritual condition. God uses our commitment to bring His will to being. We need to understand it's all because of Christ. It's all because of what happened in that manger 2,000 years ago. It's all because of the love of God. For God did so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, we see the setting of the arrival of Christ, the first coming of Christ. He's coming back.
Amen.
And this is the setting, actually, for both of them. It says here in verse 1, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by way of the sea beyond Jericho, beyond Jordan, and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest. And now, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is in confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." And I want you to look at this last phrase. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God wanted this to happen. God saw the need, and it caused him and motivated him to do all these things for us. So as we look in this passage this morning, we see several things. The first one we see is that the nation of Israel is in a time of affliction. He points out two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali. They're on the northeast corner of Israel's inheritance. They were the first to fall to the Assyrian rule. And then the Assyrians came in and were replaced by the Babylonians. And they have been afflicted. Folks, we live in a time where there's a lot of affliction. But God knows. As we said last night, God is still in control. In verse 2, we see that it is a time of darkness. It said that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They weren't seeing a great light there. They're ready to go into captivity. Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. And now they have to go into Babylon and come back out. And then there's more prophets. And then there's 400 years of silence. Folks, we live in some dark times today. We live in some times of affliction today. We've been going through Psalm 119, and we've been talking about the psalmist going through all the affliction, yet he holds fast to God's word.
Amen.
So this was a time of affliction. This was a time of darkness. This was a time of searching for joy. It says, thou hast multiplied the nation. You know, God keeps His promise. God keeps His promise to Abraham. He said He's going to make Abraham's descendants as the sand of the sea. And God has blessed Abraham and blessed the Jewish nation and blessed Israel with more and more people. More and more. And that's His promise. He keeps His promises. But you know something? More doesn't necessarily mean better. More does not necessarily mean joy if you're in man's point of view. But I'll tell you what. More about Jesus would I know. More of His love to others show. If you know more about Jesus, you'll be happier. If you know more about Jesus, there'll be a change in your life. So it was a time of affliction. It was a time of darkness. It was a time of searching for joy. And people today try to find joy in so many different things. When God says, I have all the joy you need right here, if you just follow me. In verse 4, there's a time of freedom, but not being free. Verse 4 reflects the time that God has taken the yoke of the Assyrian off of them. God has taken the yoke of the Babylonian off of them. And He keeps His promises. But you know something? You can be free and not be free. You can be free and still be in bondage. The Bible says this, who the Son has set free, He is what? Free indeed. And we think that freedom is something as in a physical sense. But God wants freedom in a spiritual sense. That's how you get out of affliction. That's how you increase your joy. When you truly understand the spiritual freedom that only God can bring. In verse 5, we see the chaos of a battlefield. And we live in a world of chaos today. We live in a world of chaos. It says that every battle, in the battle, the warrior is what? Confused noise. There's sounds from every direction. Folks, we need to look up. We need to listen up. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to His Word today and follow it. Amen. Because that'll bring peace and direction in a land of chaos. And so in this backdrop, we see verses 6 and 7. And we see it's a time for God to intervene. Galatians chapter 4, we've been using that. It says, but when the fullness of time was come. You know, God said, I have a timeline. You're not going to change it. He's on a timeline right now to come back. You're not going to change it. You're not going to change it. You know, Christ is the intervention of this. Let me read you a passage out of Matthew chapter 4. Christ has been tempted. He's been baptized by John the Baptist at the end of Matthew 3. And then He goes out in the wilderness. He's tempted just like we are in the first part of Matthew chapter 4. And picking up in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He was departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Ah, the same places that Isaiah was talking about here in verse 1 of chapter 9. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I hope you didn't come to church today to find Santa Claus. He's not here. You came here to find Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Amen. He is the only one. He has the gift of gifts. Something that we can all be thankful for. There's a child that's born. There's a son that's given. So this morning, because it is Christmas Day, you need to spend some time with your families. We'll make this fairly quick. The first thing we need to understand that this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 talks about the coming of the King. No, God works in mysteries. Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, you have to have spiritual discernment to see this. You can't read the Bible like a book. You need to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. You need to understand the truth of it.
Amen.
And what we need to understand is there's the mystery of the manger. You know something today? The manger is long gone. The manger has been empty for a long time. See, Jesus finishes His work. And He moves on. The cross is empty.
Right.
He finished His work. And He's moved on. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the manger anymore. That's the mystery. It's a great mystery. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what the manger is all about. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. That's it.
Amen.
That's what God did. And it started in the manger. It started in a place of affliction. It started in a place of darkness. It started where people were looking for joy and they couldn't find it. It's a mystery. And it's a guarded mystery for all those who believe. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 9 it says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Let's come back to the manger today. Let's come back to the manger and see the Christ child. And see what He did for us. And then have our lives changed by Him. And live a life of gratitude for what He's done for us. So we see the mystery of the manger. It was the coming of the King the first time. And see, the mystery was, that was not what the Jews expected. They expected a king to rule physically from Jerusalem. They expected a king to make them the greatest nation on earth, like David was. They expected a king to solve all their problems so they could go on and do their own thing. But God says, nope, that's not the freedom I'm bringing. I'm bringing you spiritual freedom. I'm bringing you freedom from the bondage of sin. There's the majesty of the manger. That song was so appropriate today. Think of this. The Creator God limited Himself and went to a manger. Went to a barn because there was no room for Him in the inn. We talked last night about, in our mind, it might be the wrong time. The journey might be too long. But this was the majesty of the manger. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 it says, for by Him, who? The babe in the manger, Jesus Christ. It says, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And in Philippians chapter 2 verses 7 and 8 it says, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, born in a cattle stall, like a common farmhand, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. We see the coming of the King the first time in a lowly manger. But John says, behold, He cometh with clouds. He's coming back. He's coming back to set up that kingdom. That was prophesied here in verse 5. He says, shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Oh, we see the coming of the King. In verse 6, we see the claims of the King. The first thing is He is inerring in His work. He is an Aaron in His work. The first thing we see about the names of Christ, and when in the next year, come out to the ladies' Bible study because they're talking about the names of God. And it says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. That's the majesty of the... And His name shall be called... Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, folks. Not only do we need to be thankful for what Christ did, we need to stand in awe and wonder for this. In Psalm 40, verse 5, it says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to what? Usward." They cannot be reckoned in order. Don't try to think God. Just be like Him. Know Him as your Savior. Let Him control your life. Don't try to reason it out. Christ, God says, come, let us reason together. Let us reason together. But look at it His way. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Oh, the claims of the King. He's unerring in His work. In Psalm 119, verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." Boy, when we find a good gift, we hang on to it. When we find a good house, we hang on to it. When we find a good job, we hang on to it. When you find a good Savior, you need to do what He says. Amen. The claims of the King, He is wonderful. He's unerring in His work. Secondly, He is counselor. Counselor means to give advice. To give advice. John chapter 16, verse 13. Also in John 14, it talks about the Holy Spirit. He's the Comforter. Same concept here. It says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into what? All truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you what? Things to come." Oh, folks, just don't leave Christ in the manger. Don't leave Him on the cross. Okay? Know what He's going to do. And don't leave Him from your point of salvation. Go forward and be more like Him. In Psalm 119, verse 25, we see that high testimonies are thy delight and my counselors. See, John writes, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything created. But He became a babe because the zeal of the Lord wanted to do this. And He came to be wonderful. He came to be counselor. And if you remember when we were reading that, I had all those names in white. The Jews recognized that those were names for the Messiah. They recognized it, but He came into His own, and His own received Him not. We may recognize what Christmas is. It's talking about the birth of Christ. But that's where people leave it. And they understand the principle behind it, the concept, why God did it that way. Well, folks, just don't know about God. Know Him. Amen. Know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings. So He's unerring in His work, His wonderful and counselor. He's unquestionable in His deity. He's the mighty God. In Psalm 24, verse 8 through 10, it says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty." The Lord mighty in battle. Same word here used for mighty God. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift it, even lift them up, ye everlasting door. And the King of glory shall come in." In Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. He wants to come into your life today. Open up the gates to your heart and let Him in. Let Him be wonderful to you. Let Him be counselor to you. Let Him be the mighty God to you. He is the Messiah."
Amen.
He is the Messiah. In John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In Revelation, when Christ comes back, and it says that He shall have on His vesture and on a thigh a name written, "King of kings and Lord of lords."
Amen.
That's where the manger started. And that's what God wants. He's wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God. The everlasting Father, unending in his days, actually could be translated as the Father of eternity. Paul writes about his heritage in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, talking about that he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There was only one person in that order of Melchizedek. That was Christ. He was also king of Salem, which means king of peace. And it says, without father, without mother, without descent, without having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Mary was not Jesus' mom. She did not create him. We know that for a fact because that's what Scripture says. Mary is just like us. She has no special place in heaven. She doesn't get Jesus' ear and say, now listen to me, son. It doesn't happen that way.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. Christ is God in the flesh.
Amen.
Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. His heralding to John in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty.
Amen.
It started in the manger. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Would you trust your eternity to God today? He gives eternal life. The claims of the kings, all these things. These are names of the Messiah. He's unending in his days. He's unrivaled in his dominion, in his domain. He is the Prince of Peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 17, it says this: for he is our peace. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know peace.
Right.
You might have peace with your family for a while. You might have peace with your neighbors for a while, but you don't have peace with God. And true peace is with God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And be ye thankful. For he is our peace, who have made both one, Jew and Gentile. Christ didn't just come to the Jews. He came to everybody.
Amen.
He came for you. He came for you. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He's unrivaled in his domain of peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you. God is preaching peace to you today. What a wonderful day to receive the peace of God.
Amen.
And the gift of salvation than on Christmas Day. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off. There's a lot of people say, well, I got to get ready to meet the King. No, he takes you just as he you are.
Amen.
You know, we talk about, we hear about kings and having, Meghan and her husband and all their exploits. Folks, we need to think about what God did.
Right.
Preach to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how we started off this message? People were afflicted. People were in darkness. People were increased in doing all this stuff, but having no joy. There was chaos going on. And out of the middle of that, we have the prophecy of Christ coming, because He is our peace. And He can give you peace today. So we see the claims of the king. We see the coming of the king. And then lastly, we see the crowning of the king in verse 7. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Christ's reign is an abundant reign. When you think about all the things that he gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives life abundantly. He gives everything in greater quantity than we could ever imagine. And that's what God's offering today through his Son. It's an abundance. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. If you know God as your Savior, Christ as your Savior, you'll never be disappointed.
Amen.
Even in the chaos and even in affliction, he's still there.
Amen.
He's wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. Here it says, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. It is acknowledged reign. We talked about Joseph last week and how he had legal heritage to David's throne. Mary also had legal heritage, legal access to David's throne, because they were in the lineage of David. That's what caused David to get, or Joseph to get to Bethlehem. It's an acknowledged reign. He's going to be on the throne of David. He's ruling from Jerusalem. When he comes back, he's coming to Jerusalem. About time we recognize that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel.
Right.
It's going to be the capital of the world when Christ comes back.
Right.
So it's an abundant reign. It's an acknowledged reign. And it says to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. It's an accepted reign. But we need to accept Christ in our heart today. We need to accept all these things as truth. And we need to act on them and believe them as they are. Because God's word is truth. And then lastly, it's an authorized reign. It's an authorized reign. It says that the zeal of the total effort of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Look at this from Isaiah's perspective. 700 years are going to have to happen before this comes. Look at it from the people who were in bondage perspective. When will this happen? We need hope. Think of it when there were no prophets walking around for a while. And then all of a sudden, there's a miracle birth in John the Baptist. All of a sudden, there's a virgin that gives birth to a babe that's named Jesus, and shepherds see him, and angels appear, and they go around and they tell other people about this, and the world just says, he's the King of Kings in a manger, the King of Kings coming back to be crowned with an abundant reign, an acknowledged reign, an accepted reign, and an authorized reign. As I close this morning, here's the question. Who is this child in the manger to you? Is he just the child Jesus, the baby Jesus? Or is he all these things we've talked about? Is he to you wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Do you see him as Savior, Lord, Master, Redeemer, Messiah? You accept him as King and say with John, Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Who is this babe in the manger to you today? If you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to know Him. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we just thank You for this truth, Lord, from Your Word. Father, help us, Lord, to realize that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son, who gave all of the throne room of heaven up to be our Savior, to be born in a manger, to die on the cross for our sins. You're coming back. You said when You were on earth to be ready for You coming back. Father, I pray that we are ready today by knowing You as Savior. Lord, if someone does not know You today, I pray that this is the day of their salvation. Father, for us, Lord, just help us, Lord, to be thankful. Help us, Lord, to follow You with all of our heart. Father, help us, Lord, to see You as all these things and stand in amazement and be thankful. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.